Jesus Christ's name be praised as we come together to meditate upon God's Word. As it was announced, this is a series of messages on the evidences of our Christian faith, or the reality of the fact that we are Christians. And one of the outstanding evidence is that we are Christians, because the Spirit of God dwells and worketh in us. And it is well explained by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. So let's look at the text that is given to us for this evening's devotion. Romans 8 verses 8, 9 and 10. Romans 8 verses 8, 9 and 10. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. May the Lord grant us understanding of His precious word that we just read. Romans chapter 8 is a chapter dedicated to assure Christians of the great benefits of a life that is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right from the beginning of this chapter, Apostle Paul was mindful to persuade the hearts of his Christian readers with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent to be within us and with us. He started by saying in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It's a very comforting statement, isn't it? In fact, this whole chapter is a chapter of great comfort and assurance. As for me, the truth of Romans 8 produces great spiritual ecstasy, especially in the midst of agonizing spiritual struggles. One German commentator is reported to have said, "If Holy Scripture was a ring and the epistle to the Romans its precious stone, chapter 8 would be the sparkling point of the jewel." And you can see right at the beginning of this chapter what that commentator meant. It declares the great truth that those who are in Christ Jesus has now no condemnation. We are freed from God's wrath that was against us because of our sins. Now we can say, because we have trusted it, the Lord Jesus Christ, and started our life in Christ, that there is no condemnation, praise God. Even as a Christian, after many years, some of the terrible nature of my past sins make me worry, would God ever forgive me? You know, the devil is a master in troubling our souls. Oh, how thankful I am for promises such as Romans 8:1, which tells me all of those past sins are now gone. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But how do I know? Paul has the answer right in verse 1 itself. which leads us to our text today. So let's look at the end of verse 1, which says, the assurance that the condemnation is gone from us forever is in that we now walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When God frees us from the grip of sin and its condemnation, He fills us with the Holy Spirit, which enables us to have a life that is drawn toward the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. Before we were saved from our sins, the propensity of our heart was toward the lust of the flesh, the lust of this body in which we live, which are sinful impulses. And we never felt that it was a bad thing. In fact, we enjoyed it. We want to have more of it. But once you are released from the grip of sin and its condemnation, naturally the Spirit of God comes in to give us the power to love the things of God and His Spirit, and not the things of the flesh. And since that day when we are saved, we see this joy within our hearts to think about God, not as a stranger, but as our Father. To think about the things of God, His Word, His kingdom, His worship, prayer, meditation of God's Word, fellowship of the saints, service of Christ as the most desirable thing. And when we are not into obeying those things of God, our hearts feel terribly desperate, terribly miserable. We can't continue to disobey God because the Spirit of God works in us and takes us away from our sin. Keep on pulling us away from sin to Christ and the things of God's kingdom. And there we know, I now belong to God, because in the past I belonged to sin and Satan, and I was constantly buried in those things that belongs to the devil and sin. But now it is a miserable thing. I am now freed to enjoy the things of God, and it becomes my real desire. And so this change of inner desire produced by the Holy Spirit that worketh in us, the inner desire that leads us to God and the things of God, gives us that assurance that condemnation is over. It's no more on us. See, when God removes the condemnation that was upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to Him by faith, we know it. The Spirit of God will make sure we know it. And so, in the next verse, verse 2, Paul says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, in the epistle to the Romans, Paul uses certain words repeatedly, but with different emphasis. Now, the word law is a very common word in the epistle to the Romans, but it does not mean the same all the time. Sometimes the word the law means God's commandments, such as the Ten Commandments. But sometimes, such as here, it refers to the governing power. The Greek word nomos also means dominion, the power that controls. And that's the way it is used in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, the governing power that of the Holy Spirit that gives us eternal life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law or the dominion or the governing power of sin and death. Once I was under the grip of sin and death, which is, of course, a reference to God's condemnation against our sin. Now I am freed from that grip of sin and God's judgment upon me. Now I have been controlled, guided, led, governed by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is no more fear because condemnation is over. Yes, there is temptation. There is this constant battle in my heart. However, I know this battle is now raging in my heart because there is this law of sin trying to grab me, but then I'm held by the Holy Spirit. And so now I have a battle. Before that, there was no battle. I was totally overwhelmed by sin. But now there is the reality of the battle that goes on. In fact, when you come to chapter 7, Apostle Paul talks about that inner struggle he had. And so today, we can say, hey, if we are Christians, well, I'm no more under the bondage of sin and death. Now the Spirit of God enables me to understand the great freedom and the great spiritual blessings I have in Christ Jesus. I would rather be with Christ than with the pleasures of sin. And so we are willing to fight. And he goes on to verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now here, interestingly, the word law refers to the commandments of God. Slightly different from verse 2. In verse 3 we read, for what the law could not do, referring to God's law, the written law of God. So what that law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the law exposed our sin and showed our condemnation to us, but it could not save. Law was not given to save us. By doing the works of the law, we are not going to be saved. Because we have already broken the law many times over. So we stand condemned under the law. So what the law could not do because of our sin that broke the law tells us that we are condemned. The law cannot save. The law just says you are condemned. But what the law could not do, God sent by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So the condemnation of the law of God against our sin was placed upon Christ, whom God sent as man to this world. Jesus came to take our sins, the condemnation that was against us, upon himself, that we may have freedom from the condemnation of sin. So what the law could not accomplish, God accomplished through his son who came to remove our sin and condemnation. And then verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Now, Apostle Paul says, once the law was against us because we offended the law of God and it condemned us, but now God through Jesus Christ has removed that condemnation. Now we are brought to the law by Jesus Christ and his Spirit in order that we may have the power to obey the law. Once the law was against us and because we were against the law. But now having removed that enmity and condemnation that was against us, we are now brought to the law that we may live in obedience to the law. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when we are saved from our sins and condemnation, the presence of the Holy Spirit whom God gives to us enables us to love God's law and his righteousness. God's Spirit never teaches us to go against the law of God. The law of God is holy. The law of God is good. The law of God is just. So Holy Spirit will never teach us to go against that which is good and holy and just. What once we could not do is now being enabled by Jesus Christ and his blessed gift of the Holy Spirit in us. And that let me know that I am no more under condemnation, no more against God and His kingdom, but I am brought near to God through Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit whom He has given. And blessed be His name, I am saved, and I am saved to the uttermost. So you see, my dear friends, what Paul is trying to tell us is this. If the Holy Spirit is working within you, upon your casting of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then rejoice. You are no more under condemnation. And now you are enabled by the Holy Spirit to love God, to love God's law, which defines God's righteous expectation of us. Ah, what great joy. Ah, what great glory. Once, oh, I struggled. I thought I can never please God. But now, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the help and the empowerment and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I am led to love God's truth and to obey it. Watch this. He explains further, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What clear exposition. He has already said it, but he makes it even clearer. He says, you know, if you are still in the flesh, in other words, if you are still under the influence of the lust of the flesh, if you are really overwhelmed and overpowered by the carnal nature, then of course we know it because your mind only thinks about it. But if you are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit will now have preeminence in your life. All those who are after the Spirit, of course, here after the Spirit tells you that the Spirit is leading you and now you're following the Spirit of God. So if you are being led by the Holy Spirit and you happily, joyfully follow Him, then we know that you are going to do not the things of the flesh, but the things of the Holy Spirit. And that gives me the assurance that I'm saved. Again, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. In other words, if you are still under the lust of the flesh and keep doing the lust of the flesh without any repentance, then death reigns upon you. God's judgment is against you and you're still under God's condemnation. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The evidence of eternal life and peace with God is that we are spiritually minded. Now, what do we mean by spiritually minded? It is not being religious. In other words, oh, I like to go to church. I like to hear the choir singing. I like to do some of the things that the church would love people to do. Now, that doesn't make you spiritually minded. Spiritually minded is to be under the governing power of the Holy Spirit, willing and desiring to do what the Holy Spirit teaches us to do. Now that's a clear evidence of being saved. And we already established that at the beginning of this chapter. So once the Holy Spirit takes over our mind, there will be an overwhelming concern about the things of God. The things that the Holy Spirit teaches to do for the glory of God. And that becomes our passion. And so when the Spirit constantly draws us away from sins and temptation and fixes our mind on the things of God, we do know I'm saved because the Spirit is leading me. By the way, I'm not saying if you're saved there will not be any temptation of sin. I'm not saying flesh will never stir up. All this will happen. However, spirit will be well alive by controlling our minds. His presence will be very well seen and experienced within us. God will never leave us to our sins and temptation brought by the devil. God will keep us through the Holy Spirit. God will guide us with the Holy Spirit whom He has given. Again, in verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I read verse 8 as well. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now why would Holy Spirit work in us to lead us to the things of God? Because if a person is carnally minded, as verse 7 says, he is still in the enmity with God. There is no peace with God. God is not at peace with those who willingly, knowingly commit sin. So if we are God's children, then we cannot continue in our sin. And Holy Spirit will make sure that He will rebuke our sins and guide us to the things of the law of God. The law of God is given unto us that we may know God's will and please Him through obedience of it. So Holy Spirit will constantly rebuke if there is any disobedience in us and then lead us in a very powerful way to obedience of the Lord to please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now let this be very clear. Verse 8. No one who is after the lust of the flesh cannot claim that I please God. Ask yourself. If you claim to be a Christian, whether you are pleasing the flesh or pleasing the Holy Spirit. They that are in the flesh. He's not saying those who are living in the body, but Christians also live in the body. Here the word flesh has the idea of the lust of the flesh, the carnality of this body. If we are still living under the influence, total control of the sinful flesh, then we do not please God. So if any man claim to be a Christian and continue to sin, then there is no proof that you are a child of God. And you are not pleasing God. God is not pleased with you. So verse 9. Apostle Paul powerfully tells us. But ye are not in the flesh. But in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. It is very interesting. Did you notice that after making the assertion with such clarity that you are not in the flesh, he says to Christians that they are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now that's something cannot be easily understood in the physical realm. Paul says, you are in the Spirit and the Spirit is in you. What's that? I am in the Spirit. Okay, I got it. And then he says in the same breath, if so be that you the Spirit is in you. So who is in who? I am in the Spirit or Spirit is in me? No, don't worry. It's very easy. If you understand what Paul is trying to say, it's simply this. If you are in the Spirit, meaning to say, if you are obeying the will of the Holy Spirit, if you are in the Spirit in the sense that you are being controlled by the Holy Spirit, if you are doing the will of the Spirit, then that is a clear evidence that the Holy Spirit has already indwelt you. He is in you. You can never be after the things of the Spirit if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you. The reason why now you desire to fulfill the things of the Spirit, because He has come into you. He has come in to dwell in you, to control you, to teach you, to guide you, to prove to you that you are saved. And there is no condemnation. Jesus also said in John 15, abide in me. And then after a while he says, I abide in you. You abide in me, but I abide in you. In the same way, it's a great spiritual union that we enjoy. This is actually an expression of fellowship. I in the Spirit, Spirit in me. Oh, blessed thought. I cannot do this, but the one who baptizes me with the Holy Spirit, even Jesus Christ, He works out this blessed fellowship, this blessed communion that I, this poor sinner, now enjoy. God in Christ had mercy on me to remove my condemnation. And then to assure me that He has removed the condemnation, He sends His blessed Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells in you, giving me the power to love the things of God that I hated once. To give me the power to do the things I found myself powerless to do. Oh, blessed thought. The Spirit dwells in me, and so I dwell in Him. What great fellowship. And this proves to me, my condemnation is over. I belong to Christ. I belong to the kingdom of God. And that leads us to the last verse. Verse 10. I want you to read from the middle of verse 9 and verse 10 together. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What great statement. Now, he says, now! Don't postpone it to some future time. Right now. If you are already in the Spirit. You just made a statement in verse 9 at the beginning. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So right now, because you are no more in sin or under sin, you are under the Holy Spirit. So now, right now, you can have this conviction. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, he's saying that all these experiences we have is because we belong to Christ and we have the Holy Spirit. If you did not belong to Christ, you wouldn't have the Holy Spirit to give you this desire concerning spiritual things. So take note of two things here. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot claim to be a Christian if you do not have the Holy Spirit. After all, Jesus said in His conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he must be born again. And He said, you must be born of water, referring to the cleansing power of God's Word and of the Spirit. So Holy Spirit changes us, brings us out of our deadness, spiritual deadness, and brings us into the life, spiritual life, eternal life in God's kingdom. And then onwards, oh, great works are being carried out in our heart by the eternal Spirit of God. He teaches us to hate sin. He teaches us to be miserable in the midst of temptation. Whenever sin comes near, we feel desperate to get away from those things. If we ever fall into sin, we cry, we weep, because we know these things do not please the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God says, come away, go to Christ, trust in His atoning blood, let it cleanse you. And we cry, we repent, we ask for forgiveness, there we find God's eternal forgiveness. We rejoice, we sing praises to God, we come seeking God even more, with greater intensity, with greater passion, to serve Christ. Now here we know, we are saved. So if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you don't understand, if you have not experienced the working of the Holy Spirit that pulls you away from all ways of sin and dishonor, then you are still in your sin. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you are a child of God, you belong to Christ, and that is evidenced by the fact that the Holy Spirit teaches you to love God, to love His law, to love His kingdom, and the things that belong to Christ. And so he concluded in verse 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in us, because of sin, our body that has the principle of death, we still have the principle of death in our body, not in our soul. Our soul is completely changed. We are a new man in Christ. But this body is not redeemed debt. This is a corruptible body. This is damaged by the presence of sin. And this will die. This will go. And God will give us a new body, a glorified body. Until that change happens, we know death is still in our body. However, our spirit rejoices. The spirit is alive because of righteousness. What righteousness? First of all, the righteousness of Christ that is imputed upon us, and also the Holy Spirit in us teaches us to fulfill the law of God, which is righteousness. So if you have trusted in Christ and you are made righteous through the righteousness of Christ that is imputed on you, then the Spirit of God will then onwards teach you to love the righteousness of God. So the presence of death may be real in our body. Impulses of sin will be felt in our fallen body. And the death is also real in it. And that our spirit that is saved, our soul that is saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, will rejoice in this fact that we are redeemed. We are redeemed. And we wait for the day when we shall completely redeemed from all the molestation of sin and the principles of death that is present in this world. And right now we can experience that. Right now, as the Holy Spirit is given to us because we trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all the workings of the Holy Spirit that teaches us to walk away from sin, to please God through the obedience of the law. Now remember this. The obedience of the law is not unto salvation, but it is the actual impulse of those who are saved. We are not saved by works of the law, but we are saved by faith in Christ unto the obedience of God's law. And so when the Spirit of God teaches us to obey the law of God and please God, and the Spirit of God constantly urges us to rejoice in that salvation and the spiritual freedom He has given to us, we know for sure we are gloriously saved. So the question I want to put before you once again, before I end this time of study of this passage, is this. Are you drawn to obey the things of the Holy Spirit? Or are you governed by the lust of your flesh? You know. If the Spirit of God is still at work, urging you to give up your fleshly temptations, then you can rejoice. The Spirit is in you. You are saved. You just have to give up your disobedience and turn to God. But if you say, I don't understand all what you say, I don't have any such feelings, I really want to go back and enjoy my lust and flesh, then I'm sorry, you are in great, great danger. To be carnally minded is death. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, why not you take this warning? If you have been in the habit of not obeying the Spirit of God, right now, there's a need for you to confess your sins to Christ. The preaching of God's word is one of the means by which Holy Spirit deal with us. So stop following the lust of the flesh. Listen to the call of the Holy Spirit to come away from sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took your condemnation upon the cross to save you. Now, if you have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, but has not obeyed the Spirit fully, it's time to stop your wandering. Listen once again to the exhortation of the Holy Spirit in your heart through the Word of God. Obey, and that will prove that you belong to Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that thy word teaches us clearly. There can be great assurance in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be with us. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is thy gift. The presence of the Holy Spirit is such an affirmation that we are thy children. This is your work, your assurance that we received. In this we rejoice. And we want to live in the Spirit even more. To be guided by the Spirit when He speaks to us through the Word of God. To be corrected, to be led with absolute clarity as the Holy Spirit ministers to us by reminding us of the truth of God. May we rejoice that the Spirit of God work in us and then obey Him. And thus we may be further assured and stirred in our heart to joyfully serve Thee, O our great Savior. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us this evening, and may Thy truth remain steadfast in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.